Our next presenter is Ayman El Mohandas. He is a professor and chair of the Department of Prevention and Community Health and a professor of pediatrics at George Washington University. He is also the principal investigator of the NIH DC initiative to reduce infant mortality in minority populations. And the title of his presentation is Very Premature Birth Rates Reduced in an Integrated Behavioral Intervention Targeting High-Risk Pregnancy in African-American Residents of the District of Columbia.
Madam Chair, fellow presenters, and colleagues, good morning. I'm sure that all of you, like myself, are daunted by the continued frustration in our inability to reduce infant mortality, especially amongst minority populations in the United States. The fantastic data set that was just presented from our colleague from the CDC only highlights the importance of looking at specific subpopulations within infants born prematurely, moderately preterm and moderately low birth weight infants as an important subcategory. And as existing literature already shows, these are the components of the subpopulation that contribute most towards infant mortality. The results that I'm going to share with you today is the result of a multi-institutional, multidisciplinary, randomized clinical trial in the community of Washington, D.C. My colleagues, Michelle Kiley and Nabil Korazati, are in presence with us today, and I thank them for their contribution to this presentation today. But there are multiple other contributors to this work that will be mentioned at some point. Neither myself nor my colleagues have any conflict that we wish to reveal to you that relates to this work or the results. The NIH DC initiative is a multi-institutional collaborative funded by the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development that was created by congressional mandate in 1992 because of the very high infant mortality rates amongst minority populations in the District of Columbia. The contributing institutions include Children's National Medical Center, GW, Georgetown, Howard, NICHD, the National Center for Minority Health and Health Disparities, as well as Research Triangle Institute, which serves as our data coordinating center. And the background to the work that I'm going to be sharing with you today is that the psychosocial and behavioral risk its impact on reproductive outcome has become highlighted in the literature, especially amongst minority populations and especially amongst disenfranchised groups within urban and rural settings. The thing that is interesting about these, we heard about stress earlier on today from the first report on the Surgeon General's conference as an important psychosocial and behavioral risk, but stress most frequently does not occur singularly, but co-occurs with many other risk factors. And many of the publications that you'll find in the literature usually address these risk factors singularly, although they very most frequently occur together. We sought to test the relative contribution of these coexisting psychosocial and behavioral risks to reproductive outcomes in a population of African-American residents of the district, and to test the efficacy of an integrated intervention addressing multiple risks at the same time, designed to address smoking, environmental tobacco smoke exposure, depression, and intimate partner violence in improving these risk outcomes. The randomized clinical trial was designed to was named the Healthy Outcomes Through Pregnancy Education Project HOPE in women at risk, and as I said earlier, address these four risk variables together. We screened about 2,900 women in six prenatal care sites, and we were able to recruit 1,044. That in itself is striking, that these risk variables are occurring quite frequently, and it was not very difficult to recruit one-third of the population that we screened. These 1,000 women were African-American, at least 18 years of age, receiving prenatal care at one of the participating sites. We had to enroll them by 28 weeks to have adequate time to intervene. They were English-speaking, since at the outset we only offered the program in English, reported one or more of the risk factors. We gave them an opportunity to disengage from the study if they wished by conducting a baseline telephone interview within 2 weeks from the time of recruitment before randomizing them to either the intervention or the control groups. And that telephone interview revealed that, again, they were self-identified as African-American, 25 years, most of them, and at the time of recruitment were 19 weeks in their pregnancy. 78% were recipients of Medicaid, and 38% of them were either full-time or part-time employed. 30% had not completed high school, 47 had, and 23% had some college education. Don't be daunted by this figure, and if you would like, just ignore it if it's causing any kind of vertiginous response. But the idea behind it is to show you the complexity and the overlap between these risk variables. And if you look at any of these risk variables separately, for example, intimate partner violence, although 44.4% of the women had experienced intimate partner violence within a year prior to being recruited to the study, only 41 of those had experienced that risk variable separately and were not included in any of the other concentric areas of this diagram. Look at depression, where 463 women by the Hopkins scale were depressed. Only 50 of them were only depressed. Same about active smoking. We had 198 smokers. Only 11 of them were actively smoking and not involved in any of the other risk variables. Passive smoking and environmental tobacco smoke exposure, a larger percentage were only exposed to passive smoking, but yet that represented one-third of the entire group of participants. Our intervention was based on stages of change modeling and cognitive behavioral therapy for depression and intimate partner violence. The individual sessions were delivered during prenatal care, and the women were given homework to take home, especially in mood modification and communication skills, as well as behavioral modification related to smoking cessation. We planned 8 sessions, and we considered 4 sessions to be a minimum to be able to deliver the intervention as designed. As said earlier, baseline data was collected by telephone interview, and follow-up data was collected during the second and third trimesters, and 8 to 10 weeks postpartum. And the pregnancy outcomes were collected from the medical records of the mother and the infant during prenatal care and postpartum. There were 135 missing maternal records and 75 missing infant birth records, and 16 multiple births that were excluded from this analysis. So we have a report on 818 women with complete singleton live birth outcome data. There were 39 non-live births in our study. Bivariate analyses were conducted to show associations between these socio-demographic and behavioral risks and preterm birth and low birth weight. And the variables that were showing significance at less than 0.15 were included in the initial model in the reduced logistical model. We defined the low birth weight as less than 2,500, very low birth weight as less than 1,500, preterm birth as less than 37, and very preterm, below 34 weeks of gestation. You will see that people are continuing to refer to these definitions in various gestations sometimes. Hopefully soon enough we will all agree on what the numbers will be for the future. For the 818 women included in this analysis, they were about 25 years, 75% of them were single, 71% had high school or more education, about 79% received Medicaid services, and 17.9% were actively smoking during the pregnancy, 73% were exposed to environmental tobacco smoke, 44% were depressed, and 32% had experienced intimate partner violence in the preceding year. So to compare low birth weight and no low birth weight, you see that the significant differences lie in illicit drug use. 20% of the mothers who had low birth weight deliveries had been exposed to illicit drugs, and 56% were depressed, and 41% had experienced intimate partner violence as exposed as compared to 11%, 42%, and 31%, reaching significance. When it came to very low birth weight, and the problem here is probably a little bit with the numbers, but there wasn't enough difference between the two groups to reach significance at any of these variables. But as you see, for example, in depression, the very low birth weight group, 69% of the mothers had tested as being depressed on the Hopkins scale versus 44% in the not very low birth weight group, and intimate partner violence, again, 54% compared to 32%. When you look at preterm delivery below 37 weeks, the factors that reached significance were maternal age, as reported earlier in many publications. The older mothers seem to have more preterm births. The depressed women had a higher incidence of preterm births, and IPV was also more prevalent in the group that delivered prematurely. In the very preterm group, depression and intimate partner violence, despite the number being small, was significantly different between groups. Now, the intervention itself, the integrated intervention, none of these outcomes were higher in the intervention group, but reached significance in the very preterm birth. You see 2.2% versus 5%, a very significant difference. And also in the very low birth weight, where it's 1% versus 2.2, but as shown earlier, because of the numbers being small, we're not able to show significance. In the risk for low birth weight, depression at baseline was significantly associated with the incidence of low birth weight in our study. When it comes to risk for preterm and very preterm birth, you see that for the preterm birth, maternal age was young maternal age decreased the incidence of preterm birth, and intimate partner violence recorded at baseline was associated with an increased incidence of preterm birth. When it came to very preterm birth, you see that the intervention group significantly reduced the incidence of very preterm birth within our population, and intimate partner violence for the very preterm birth was dauntingly associated with a much increased rate of very preterm birth deliveries. Our conclusions are that, as you saw before, that maternal age, depression, intimate partner violence, and illicit substance use are important predictors of poor pregnancy outcome. Depression was significantly associated with low birth weight, and maternal age and intimate partner violence were significantly associated with preterm birth. Very preterm birth rates were significantly increased in mothers reporting intimate partner violence and significantly reduced in mothers receiving our integrated behavioral intervention. Our study confirms the role of psychosocial and behavioral risk in poor reproductive outcomes in minority populations. And we believe that we are the first randomized clinical trial to show efficacy in reduction of reproductive risk by using a cognitive behavioral interventional approach on multiple risks at the same time. We recommend that pregnant women should be screened for psychosocial and behavioral risk, and that women who suffer from depression and intimate partner violence during pregnancy should receive services to address these needs. And the efficacy of interventions described in this study should be tested in effectiveness models, because obviously these were conducted under experimental conditions, and their level of efficacy could be diluted in real-time prenatal care delivery. Finally, I would like to thank our funders. Would also like to thank our many collaborators at the recruitment sites and the research group, as well as the participants who welcomed us into their lives and in hopes of helping themselves, their children, and the community. Thank you very much.